3, 2, 1. Hey everyone, and welcome to the Reaching Ahead podcast for this special edition that we're holding at the World Championships in Glasgow in 2018. Today we have two guests with us. We have Lauren Early, which I'm sure all of you will be very familiar with, and we have Maya Coyne. So I'm sure all of you know all about Lauren, and so we're just going to pass it on to Maya. Maya, tell everyone listening who you are and why you're here.
Hi guys, I'm Maya. I'm an Irish dancer and dancer. I do all different kinds of styles like ballet, tap, jazz, contemporary, modern, ballroom. I love them all, and I'm here today because I'm an RNH student, and I'm in love with the program.
And you're dancing the World Championships.
Yeah, and I'm dancing at the World Championships this year.
Awesome. Super exciting. So, I just want you to both to remind the viewers of your placings. Like, Maya, what is your top place, and Lauren, what you've achieved before. And today's podcast preparation. So, we have two guests. It's going to be important because I want people to understand how two different excellent dancers prepare for a competition, and not everybody's approach is the same, but ultimately the outcome still wants to be the same, which is get the highest grade in being beat.
So Lauren, tell the dancers what you've won and what you went to get there,
and then I want Maya to talk a little bit about her preparation.
Nerves, anxiety,
and really what you do, what you've achieved, and what your routine is in the build up to that in the final weeks and days and morning of the competition.
Sure. The big major competitions that I've won is, of course, the Ultra Championships, the All-Ireland, the World, the Grip Race, all Scotland, American Nationals, all the top majors raised in CLRJ. I have won all the top majors, but one thing I felt that can't get me here was how I prepared I was for the training up to it, mentally, physically, and had all the physical and mental stuff to me, for the World, for 3-4 months, my training tailored right up that me and competition.
As well as dancing on my dance, heard by dancing teachers, meaning that literally two months before my major, my steps were already a big competition.
They were comfortable and suitable for me and my style and dancing. And I feel that's what really kept me here because my dancing just saw all my strengths, what I was comfortable with, and of course me training my strength and conditioning work, my lactic acid training that got fired through my long sleeves. And that's what I feel that I saw here because I prepared to do more training. So if we put a little bit of context to the podcast, before we kind of cover too many topics at once.
If we're talking about two months out, would you say that you basically had your steps covered two months out, and then the final two months is all about just sharpening everything up, tailoring everything towards your training perspective?
At least two months out, if not probably a month and a half out, but never weeks before a major, and depending on that dancer with me, I was very fast passing up steps, so much fun, a lot of dancers struggle for a good guy, if something's changed, but they knew me inside out, and they knew how comfortable I was about some changes, made me three, four weeks before, and that's tactical when you know everything individual, their strengths are, okay, how would that relate to you in terms of, obviously there's a lot of preparation in these wins coming up to a competition, but if we're talking about you actually knowing your steps, at what point out from a major would you feel comfortable knowing your steps,
and then it just becomes about sharpening everything or tweaking everything, at what point would that be?
Maybe about 2 or so weeks before, because I know leading up to this there's a lot of different tweaks and changes. After little competitions, if my teachers or me see that something's wrong, we'll be like, oh, okay, let's fix that. So then when the big one comes, it'll be stage perfect. So probably up to maybe, you know, 2 weeks before my choreography set, I know what I'm doing, I feel comfortable with it. And even if there is maybe like small little changes, I'll feel comfortable with it. Kind of like Lauren, I'm pretty fast with picking choreography up.
And normally with the Irish dancer, if we do try this, we
So this is the important warm-up competition, and just to sum that up, we would say anywhere from like one and a half months out to two weeks out, everything, choreography should be all nailed down, and we're really looking to just little tweaks.
Just make sure the dancer is comfortable, and that's how I felt. That's one thing going into competition, I was always 100% with my stuff.
Yeah, and similar to what Lauren was saying, the environment in the classroom compared to the environment on the stage is totally different. You can dance in class one way and on stage completely different. I mean, you're with other dancers, so that's another thing that you have to take into consideration, because maybe in class there might be some people doing the same steps as you, but you don't know how it's going to turn out on stage. And you never know which direction people are going to. So that is what you also have to keep in mind, not only being prepared with your steps and being comfortable with it, but being able to move them around across the stage around people.
Definitely.
Awesome. Just really good information. So I want to touch on nerves and anxiety, and how kind of people at the top level, or even when these dancers were starting off, how they deal with nerves now, how they would have dealt with them before they got to the level they're at now, and what kind of changed that at that point. So Maya is still to dance this week. So today we're on Monday.
Yep.
And Maya is dancing on Wednesday, I believe.
Yeah.
So this is a perfect opportunity for us to find out what Maya's thinking, how she's dealing with the pre-competition nerves and anxiety, and what might have changed over the years, because I know you've done the words how many times now?
Since
the beginning, was it?
U10, U11? Well, I couldn't do U11. My teachers were judging. So U12 to like three, my third or fourth.
Okay.
One.
So. Yeah. Tell everyone how you're feeling in terms of nerves and anxiety, and how that has changed, if it has changed, and how you deal with it.
Well, actually, I'm really excited. I've kind of learned, not only from R&H, but also in past experiences, just to turn, you know, those nerves into excitement and use those nerves on the stage, which I've learned from your podcast, I think I listened to a few months ago. And I've just learned to use that those nerves and that gut feeling in your stomach, use that for you, because I've learned also in your podcast that this is your body getting ready for, you know, this huge event. And you can use these nerves to dance your best, and that's what I always think.
And what about right before stage? Does your mindset change, as in nerve control, like the morning you wake up on Wednesday?
Yeah, for sure.
How do you feel?
I feel like when I first wake up, it's definitely anticipation compared to when I'm backstage. It's more like, okay, let's get ready. You're about to go on. And I feel like when I first wake up, I feel like my nerves are more out of control. Like, oh, today's the day. We're backstage. They're more contained, and I'm focusing like, hey, you're about to go on stage. Like, try and remember everything and just perform and have fun.
Amazing. Excellent.
Lauren, so obviously, I was coaching you as we went through your words. So some of the stuff that Maya was talking about in terms of how to use nerves to your advantage would have been some of the stuff that we used to talk about. I remember that some of your earlier competitions, that advice not might have worked so much, because it was just sometimes it was panic stations. And as you got older, you would have remembered kind of and trusted that process of, actually, hang on a second, nerves are your friend and they can help you perform at your best. So what advice would you have to any listeners who are even maybe the first competition, or they've been doing words for years? What advice would you have?
email face would be, yous are all here for a reason. So number one, yous are all the ability to qualify and be at the World Championships number one. So you should be so proud of yourself knowing that you're getting ahead in your dancing career and results. And also, like I said with my motivational video before we came to Worlds, this is like the one of the biggest opportunities every Irish dancer will have. We're in CLRG, we're against so many fantastic dancers all over the world, and opportunity getting up on stage and performing to your best of ability is fantastic. So to personally, you've done it, your hard work's done. Yes, nerves are fantastic. Without nerves, I don't think I would ever perform. Sometimes I walked on stage, I thought the audience could hear my heartbeat, but I always remembered that coming off stage, I want to be so proud of myself. I don't want to say, oh, why did I not get that front click up? Why did I give up so easy at the end? I want to come off that stage feeling, do you know what? I couldn't give any more on stage, and I am super proud of myself. So guys, always think about afterwards. What feeling do you want to think when you step off that stage after round one? Because within seconds, it's all done, and then you're on to the next round. So enjoy every single second of it, because you all deserve to be here.
Yeah. And a lot of it is about, like, when people say deserve to be here, I mean, the most important thing is that you actually, you want to be here, right? That well, you want to be going to those competitions, you want to be doing that, because nerves can very easily turn the opposite direction. They can help you in the competition, and they can very, very quickly ruin the entire competition. And that really comes down to how much you want it as a dancer. Like, I mean, Maya and Lorna both give great advice on nerves, and from my perspective, you know, I will go into a little bit more scientific detail as to what nerves actually are, and you should really want to check out that podcast. I'm not sure what episode it is, but it's one of the earlier ones, maybe episode 14 or 13. It's all based around nerves.
You actually done it before the Nationals last year, didn't you?
Yeah, it's essentially explaining to you why you have nerves and how they're a good thing, but in really, really short. Nerves are basically preparing you for something big that's about to come. When you get nervous and your legs are twitching, you know, your body is filling up with energy, your legs are filling up with energy, and that's why you find it hard to sit still. So if you understand the process of what's happening, you understand that your body is actually preparing you to do something extremely fast, sharp, and powerful. Now, it doesn't know you're getting on stage to dance. It probably thinks you're getting on stage to, it probably thinks you're being chased by a gorilla. But ultimately, if you understand what's happening, you can work that towards your advantage. So you want to check that out and obviously listen to the advice that you've just been given. Another thing I want to talk about coming up to a competition is actual belief, right? So if we tie into nerves, one of the reasons why I think a lot of dancers get nervous, but in a bad sense of nervous, is because they don't believe that they can do it, or they don't really have any physical proof as to if they're going to perform well. Like, for example, what I'm referring to here is fitness testing, right? So as a dancer, you don't really know, if you have little experience, you don't really know if you're dancing well or not. You're relying on the feedback from your teachers, you're relying on feedback from judges and parents. But if someone tells you're dancing well, and we covered this in earlier podcast, does that mean you're dancing well comparison to the rest of your class, comparison to the world? Like, how do you guys feel back in the day, Lauren or Maya, now, if you're being told you're dancing well? It's a very vague statement, right? You don't really know what that's comparable to. Like,
yeah, but when your dance teacher say, no, Lauren, you're dancing really well, they know, they've seen me at my best, they've seen me at my worst, they know what I'm up against. So yes, that's personally telling me that you are on top right now. If they were worried at any stage, other people, my top competitors were like a bit better, or I wasn't on point, they know, no, Lauren, you need to step it up now.
Okay, so knowing they're judging it against
your top competitors. So even no matter, like, the dancers that go through recall level, for example, them dancers will know, oh right, I beat her. There's always that bunch that all know each other in maybe recall level, the three or four or five in the same region.
Yep.
So they're their competitors as they get higher and higher up. So the teachers know exactly on their level of recall level, okay, you've beat her at the regionals now, so they'll judge on what their competition is, as in how they're getting, rather than world champion level, because they're slowly coming up and they're improving, which,
like,
is
realistic. I guess what I'm trying to say is there a point, like, Maya, is there a point where you're not really too sure how you're dancing? Like, when you're coming up to a competition, before those practice competitions, there's bound to be a point where dancers start kind of second guessing things, right? And they're like, well, actually, am I dancing well? Is my performance good? Like, you've had those thoughts before, right?
Yeah, I feel like sometimes I have that kind of mentality sometimes leading up to a major or a small competition. But
I think we all do.
Most of the time, yeah, at one point we always think that, but sometimes I just have to, you know, put my trust in my teachers or even my mom. Like, yes, she might not have that big of a dance background, but she knows when I'm dancing my best or when it's my worst. But sometimes I just have to put my trust in them, knowing they seen me at my worst and they seen me at my best, and I think in the end, they know what's best for me. And
if there's anything you were doing wrong, they'll be like, whoa, hold
be
on
like,
a second.
No, wait, that, yeah, for sure.
Yes, so, I've had that as well.
So if you look at whenever part of the academy training, what we done was introduce fitness testing, right? So whenever I'm dealing with a lot of other athletes, one way they will be able to see how their performance is before they run or whatever, do their major competition, is they're able to see how their performance is on the days, weeks, and months out by testing their performance. Now, one of the issues you have with Irish dancing is that it's not actually a measurable sport. So like we just said, the only feedback you can get on your performance is verbal feedback from coaches, teachers, and moms and parents. But if we have a look at actual fitness tests, and so if I'm a sprinter, I can rely on specific times to show me exactly where I am in relation to last year at exactly the same point. If I'm a boxer, I can rely on different types of fitness tests, punching power, you know, like time trials, sprinting up hills. They do lots of different types of tests to know, to actually back up, so they don't have to second guess, okay, this is where I am, this is where I was last year, and this is what I know I need to change. Now, as part of your fitness testing in the academy, and both of you guys went through it, do you think that fitness testing is a real good help? Like, for example, when we are testing your stamina and your speed and your power, and you're able to see 6 or 12 weeks later that has actually improved, would you say that that's a good help going into the competition, knowing that that's where you were and this is how much better your stamina is getting and so on?
100% yes, because the actual fact, even if I come off summer holiday and was leading right into my Ulsters, I knew, okay, on week one, I am here, on week four, I'm now here. I've increased my bleed test, or I've increased my speed, my power's got better, my height's got better. The actual fact that you were testing non-stop made, number one, my confidence grow. Number two, I know I'm ahead of everybody else in the age group, knowing that I was doing the actual correct training, and having actual facts just to remind me, no, Lauren, you are improving. Yeah. Because it's hard sometimes going on word of mouth.
Yeah, I totally agree, because sometimes you can second guess, you know, wait, am I really doing good? Like, are you sure? Like, are you sure is it good or was it okay? Because I sometimes do that all the time when someone's like, oh, no, yeah, it was good. I'm like, wait, are you sure? Like, was this okay? Was this okay? Like, are you sure? Yeah. I always sometimes like second guess things. But with these different fitness testing, I know for sure, like, okay, I see I'm improving. I feel more confident in myself, especially leading up to a major. And in the end, I know, okay, this is going to pay off. I've done my best up to here. I've improved so much, and now all I can do is, you know, put my heart out on the stage.
Yeah.
But I mean, for those listening, like, you got to put this into a little bit of context. We're talking to two dancers that are very, very dedicated. They will pretty much do whatever is asked of them to get to the top. But if we look at fitness testing from an opposite perspective, so let's say we look at some dancers who may not be as dedicated, may not be as, you know, as motivated to train in the off season, may not be as committed, but still expect things to happen for them. If we apply fitness testing to, if you take a school with 100 people in it, you're always going to have the bunch of dancers that will do whatever it takes. You're going to have the bunch of dancers in the middle that will and maybe won't, and you're going to have the bunch of dancers that just don't really want to do it and expect it to happen for them. So my experience in fitness testing is that it benefits everybody, even those that don't want to do the work. Because if I'm doing fitness tests, it's going to call out those who don't really want to do the work, right? If I'm testing them and then 6 weeks time I'm testing them again and nothing's happened, there's one or two things that are going on. Either the training that you're doing isn't working for them and they give 100% effort, or they're just not doing the work. Now, if I'm a teacher or a coach or a parent or even a dancer, I want to know if it's working for me. And so there's nowhere really to hide. Like, would you agree? There's nowhere to hide when you're doing fitness testing. You can only blame a certain amount of things, and when you fitness test and the results aren't better, you know if you haven't done the work that the onus is on you, right?
Yep, 100%. Definitely. I feel like I think that's what separates everyone. Like, results-based. You speak to a lot of people that really want it, but when you actually put them to the test, like to do fitness test, where was your heart rate? No, you will get back, I tried really, really hard, but I only got this level, and then I'm like, okay, let me see where your heart rate was. Did you really try your best? And then it's kind of go back to square one, realizing that if you're, it comes down to bottom line, if you're not pushing yourself, if you're not pushing your test, you're not pushing a dance class, you can't expect to win, you can't expect to do good, you can't expect to get any better. It's like you're hitting a brick wall year by year if you don't improve or change your training.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I totally agree, especially you can use these fitness tests as even like a wake-up call. Like maybe you're wondering, oh, why am I not placing better? And then you can go back to your fitness test and maybe if it's the same or maybe not as good or your best,
yeah,
that can be a wake-up call for you. Maybe thinking, okay, I need to push more, I need to do
this
more,
I'm
I need
lacking,
to, or maybe I need to change my fitness plan or add a little bit more to it.
Yeah.
And I think these fitness tests are very beneficial for that.
Definitely.
One of the main reasons are why we have them in the academy is obviously to get results, but second to that is for us to show the dancers their effort. Like for example, if a dancer completes the academy and says that they haven't got any results, and touch wood, it hasn't happened yet, but if a dancer does, it's very easy for me to look at the fitness test and go, okay, you completed this fitness test and your heart rate was only at, let's say, 140 beats per minute. So if anybody who doesn't know anything about heart rates, that's like a jogging speed, right? If their max heart rate on a fitness test is coming in at 140 beats per minute, I can easily see that they weren't willing to push themselves hard enough on that test. So the first thing I'm gonna go back and say is, okay, look, that's the test result, but you didn't push yourself anywhere near as hard as you could because your heart rate wasn't even anywhere near maxed out. Guys, before we go, I just wanna know two things. When we come to training intensity, explain to the dancers sometimes how they need to feel when they dance. Like for example, Maya, when was the last time you felt sick when you were training? And Lauren, how often did you used to be sick?
Well, I'm trying to think.
Do you want me to go first, will you think?
Yeah, you go first.
Okay, so, right. So I never got to the stage of feeling sick. I got to the stage, well actually I did. Sprint training number one is okay to get a dizzy head, feel like the body is just crying out to stop. But the actual fact of it's okay to be sick when you hit that lactic acid training, that always happened to me after sprint training when I was maxing out the heart rate. In dance class, performing, or any type of training, when the legs start to get heavy, obviously when you're training better, you can tolerate it more, right? But no matter what, it is always painful. You're fighting against that lactic acid. You want to be powerful. You're keeping up the speed. And you make it lightheaded now and again, yes, that is totally normal. The fight of breath, you feel like sometimes the legs can feel so heavy, but the breathing's okay, or the other way around,
yeah,
depending on how you're training. Mm-hmm. But it is okay to feel like, oh my God, my body wants to give up. That is the point where you fight, because I feel like every time I went into dance class and I got that feeling, see the next day, it got better. And see the next day, it got better. And then it got easier and easier. And the fact that you're getting so powerful and sharp, that is key to becoming top, to tolerate that start to finish. So if it's feeling comfortable or it's okay to go through a dance, something's wrong.
Yeah. So I feel like, I thought about this now, but I feel like for sure, especially during the lactic acid training or even the sprints, that was definitely when I was starting to feel sick. I was like, oh, I don't know if I can do this anymore, but I was like, no, gotta keep going,
you
gotta
keep
going.
Yourself, don't you?
Yeah, and I feel like, I know, especially when I'm like, feel like I'm sick or I'm gonna like faint or something, I know like, okay, in the end, this is gonna be worth it. And especially even afterwards, after, you know, the sick feeling is gone, or, you know, the heaviness in your legs is gone, you're like, okay, that was good. Like,
yep.
I know that's gonna
pay off
in the end.
Definitely.
I mean, you gotta stress the body for it to be able to adapt, right? And this is
and
the part of the training process. If you're not willing to go into those depths, the body has no reason to tolerate it when it comes to stage time. So, and the more you avoid it during the year of training, the harder it's going to be when you experience it on stage. And let's be honest, you can't hide it on stage. That fatigue is going to come on stage, and if you haven't taught yourself to deal with it, then
class,
it's just going to stand out on stage, and it's going to show even more. So it may mean that you need to go through it time and time again in training, but when you step on stage, it will be so less obvious, and you'll be able to resist that fatigue for much longer.
Yep.
So guys, just to finish off, I know everyone listening will get a lot of value out of this, but we just want to say a massive good luck to Maya that is competing in 2 days' time.
Thanks.
We can't wait to hear your result. And is anybody any final words?
Best of luck, Maya.
Thank you so much.
And for
everybody else. I hope you enjoy this and take everything away, what we say, because it's all true and it's all from our heart. And again, from the rest of Reaching Heights team, Five Best to Luck, Maya.
Thank you.